Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're all doing great on this third weekend of September. If you need a bit of a reprieve from all the news about the Queen, then you will find it here this hour. Even though I was on CTV last week talking about all the tech the Queen used during her reign for reaching out to people, it's pretty remarkable actually, from radio to the first royal coronation on TV to the internet. She used Zoom, loved digital animation, you know, with Paddington Bear, and as you likely saw earlier this year and during the many tributes over the past week and a bit. But I digress. We do have a great tech talk for you this hour. First up, you've likely heard of grandparent scams, but you might not know how much criminals are raking in by stealing from your aging relatives. The number may shock you, and that's those who've even reported the crime. We're going to talk with Visa's Michael Jabara. He's head of fraud services, all about that in a moment. Then IBM Sports will join us on how techie terms like data analytics and AI or artificial intelligence all helps sports fans get more out of their favorite sports like tennis and football and baseball. SanDisk talks about backing up your important info this hour on those teeny and inexpensive USB thumb drives. So we'll learn what's new there. And we're also going to chat about the Wow Cube, a new Rubik's Cube-like puzzle game that has 12 little screens on it. We're going to be joined by actor Jason Hervey, who you might know best as Wayne Arnold, the brother Wayne from The Wonder Years. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk, powered by Chevrolet Canada and its Chevy Bolt EV and Bolt EUV. I'll tell you more about them in a few moments, but let's officially kick off this week's Tech Talk with our first interview. With National Grandparents Day taking place earlier in the week, I thought it would be an ideal time to discuss cybersecurity, specifically as it pertains to this often targeted group, and explore some simple ways for you and your loved ones to remain on guard and protected from fraudsters lurking out there today. To discuss grandparent scams, as they're called, and other threats, I'm thrilled to have back onto the show Michael Jabara. He's VP and Head of Global Fraud Services at Visa. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Awesome. Now, look, we just celebrated National Grandparents Day, and so I do think it's a good time to discuss a sensitive issue, which is elder fraud, for a lack of a better phrase, including the so-called grandparent scams that we've been hearing about in the news. I guess awareness plays a big role here. So before we talk tips to better protecting our loved ones from malicious types, what are the risks exactly that face seniors today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a very timely topic, especially as we're going back to school and we're gearing up for the holidays. But let me kind of set some context first, just to provide a little bit of background here. So it's no surprise that over the last couple of years, we have seen this massive shift towards digital payments and digital transactions. You know, my mother, who prior to the pandemic had never made a online transaction before, now doesn't even step foot into a grocery store and just orders all of that stuff online. And so it's been this massive shift in kind of trying new payment use cases. But with this shift to digital commerce, there's also this increased focus from fraudsters on targeting those payment use cases because of their virtual nature. It makes them more susceptible for those types of scams. And this is especially true for elder individuals who may be a target just given their relative lack of know-how and tech sophistication. And they also don't necessarily always report these crimes and the fraud to authorities. So it's kind of a great win-win for a fraudster. It's kind of high pay, low risk.
Great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as an example of the grandparent scam, you could have a fraudster who spoofs a relative's phone number and sends a text to the grandparent asking for money due to a medical emergency, or they need money for textbooks, or whatever the case may be. And they're able to glean those personal details because the grandparent had posted pictures on Facebook or Instagram. And so they're able to craft a very believable text message. Or similar, but slightly different concept there is when a family member does actually get hacked and the fraudster gets access to their email, they'll target their elder family members with kind of a similar plea for money or for help because they know they can play on their emotion. They're more likely to get a hit from those those individuals versus those who are a little bit more suspicious and more on the lookout for these types of fraud schemes.
Wow. Yeah, very scary. And I know that it's even happening on the phone. If I'm not mistaken, I've been hearing increasing reports of people using software to even change their voice to make it sound like their grandson because they have access to this data on social media. They can make the connection, whether it's automated or someone manually is researching this, which takes it to the next level. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff. It's like the deep fakes, if you will, but audio, not video.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I think that's the key around social engineering, which has been around for a long time, right? Phishing is a type of social engineering where the fraudster is sending a fraudulent message that is attempting to trick the individual into providing sensitive information or to download malicious software or, you know, again, to send funds. You can think of kind of the original version of this back in the 90s with the Nigerian prince emails, right? Well, we've come a long way since then because now, you know, there's this technology available where you can scrape the internet for this type of detail and run automated scripts that allow you to craft personalized messages, personalized text messages, and send them to a whole host of individuals in a very targeted manner that allow you to increase the yield on the recipients, you know, falling for the scam that you're running.
Wow.
And that also includes, you know, phishing, which you refer to, or voice phishing, where the fraudster will actually modify their voice to your point and then leave a message for the individual either pretending to be a reputable company or a family member so that they can provide, you know, sensitive card detail or provide their account name and password so that they can log into their online banking portal and transfer funds out. So it's very impressive and somewhat a scary evolution in the deployment of these classic techniques.
Yeah, very scary indeed. And of course, since you're with Visa, Michael, I do want to talk to you about shopping advice in a moment and staying safe there. But you brought up phishing, which is these phony phone calls that pretend they're from you know, Microsoft or Amazon or what have you.
Yeah.
This happened to my mom and she almost fell for it. There's smishing attacks. And despite its silly sounding name, this is like an email phishing attempt, but through a text message, SMS phishing. Again, looking legitimate and trying to lure you into giving out personal information for identity theft purposes, which will lead to fraud, no doubt. So phishing, smishing, vishing, and then I got one more for you, and I'm kind of making this up. I call it dishing from dating sites because catfishing issues on dating sites, and that includes dating sites for seniors, places like Our Time and the like. They are also misleading seniors into believing that they're getting involved in a romantic relationship with them, and then they ask them for money and then never heard of again. So this poor demographic, they're really getting hit from all sides here.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think there's a kind of a couple of factors at play here. You know, kind of one I mentioned before, just the relative lack of sophistication around kind of how technology can be used and exploited for illicit gain.
And just more trusting too, I think.
And more trusting, exactly. So they're, because you're playing on their emotions, because you're, you know, pretending to be a family member who's in need, or you're pretending to be a company that requires validation of your personal information or else your account is going to be deactivated, right? There is always this panic on their side to want to be willing to help. And that's used against them. And then the other key factor too is the fact that they're less likely to report fraud.
Yeah, the FBI confirmed that, right?
That's right. Yeah, the FBI has mentioned that senior citizens are less likely to report fraud. We've seen public figures from the FTC that show that, you know, 44% of younger people report losing money to fraud, but only 20% of older people did the same. So, you know, if it doesn't get reported, the criminal is less likely to get caught. So, you know, where are you going to focus, right? It's that high reward, low risk demographic.
And I get it. Like I shared with you anecdotally that my mom almost got duped into giving out personal information. And she was so embarrassed when I'm like, Mom, you know better. Like, thankfully, it didn't get that far, but she was so embarrassed. So I can understand why people don't want to report these things. We're chatting with Michael Jabara. He is Vice President and Head of Global Fraud Services at Visa. We're talking about grandparent scams and other related issues for seniors following National Grandparents Day taking place earlier this week. So a timely discussion. Let's now pivot and chat shopping. You know, we're entering the busy shopping season. What are some of the issues that our listeners or their loved ones, their parents or grandparents, should know about? And I think you also have some shocking stats about cybercrime in this light.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So cybercrime has cost Americans over 50 years old nearly $3 billion last year, which is
Wow.
a 62% increase from 2020, according to the FBI's 2021 Elder Fraud Report. And the median financial loss for adults age 70 and above is much higher than other age groups, right? So if you look at the 20 to 29, the average loss is about $324. When you go to 60 to 69 year olds, that number goes up to $426. And then for the 70 to 79 year old age group, that median loss is about $635, which are, quite shocking figures. But then you go further up on the age spectrum, and for ages 80 and up, those are the most heavily impacted, where the median loss was about $1,300.
Wow.
So if you think about these kind of age groups, they're retirees, they're, most of them are likely on a fixed income. It's not an insignificant impact, to their livelihood.
This is very disturbing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and of course, having you on the line, we're going to chat tips in a moment, some best practices to reducing the odds of falling victim. And in addition to these internet-based fraud schemes, there are other scams that are targeting seniors, right? Like maybe you can talk to us about healthcare insurance fraud and prescription drug-related, counterfeit prescription drug-related issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's really around fraudsters thinking about what topics are going to be most relevant to this demographic and how can we craft kind of compelling messages or schemes that will result in a high yield
Right.
of these elder individuals cooperating, right? Giving information around their bank accounts or payment accounts or personal accounts to be able to access them. So pretending to be a legitimate online pharmacy and sending through placebo drugs your way, right? Or
Wow.
pretending to be a legitimate charity that is raising funds for drought relief in Asia, but it's all a front and the money is being pocketed by the fraudster.
When we return on Tech Talk and continue chatting with Michael Jabara from Visa, I'll give my two cents on why these pharmacy scams are actually a lot more dangerous than just defrauding someone out of their savings. We'll get to all of that when we return on Tech Talk. Welcome back to Tech Talk. We'll continue chatting with Michael Jabara, Head of Fraud Services at Visa, and he's a VP. We're talking about grandparent scams and other risks they face today. Before we get back to that interview, I just wanted to thank Chevrolet Canada for your support on Tech Talk. Charge up and go places with Chevrolet Bolt EUV, the affordable electric crossover that moves with the current of life. So what does an all-electric future look like? It looks sleek with bold styling that gives way to a roomy, refined interior with seating for up to five. It looks bright with an available illuminated charge port for convenience and flair. The future looks like the Chevrolet Bolt EUV. Electric now for everyone. Let's bolt. Visit Chevrolet.ca for more. All right, so we're joined by Michael Jabara. He is a VP at Visa and Head of Fraud Services. We're talking about scams that seniors face in Canada. Before the break, Michael, we were talking about those pharmaceutical scams. So please continue your thought.
Yeah, so it's really kind of thinking about how can they raise their suspicion radar up a little bit and think about, is this the best channel for me to get my drugs? Is this the best channel for me to ask questions about my healthcare coverage? Is this the best channel for me to donate to the worthy cause? And kind of always, being just a little bit more questioning than before.
It's one thing defrauding someone, which is horrible enough with all of these scams, but by sending placebo drugs to someone, that also can, of course, result in sickness or death. So, I mean,
Absolutely.
wow, this is, a bigger issue than I think what many people expect. There's also homeowner or those reverse mortgage scams, again, targeting seniors. So let's now end off on some best practices, some tips from you, Michael, on how to mitigate these risks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best advice is you really have to protect your personal information when you're online, right? I think being online has been a tremendous resource for elder individuals for connecting with family and friends and remaining informed on what's going on in the news. I mentioned my mom and how now she's an avid online shopper when, she didn't even have a card 2 years ago. But with the greater interactions that you have in the digital space, the bigger your footprint is, the more data elements that are available for fraudsters to leverage and deploy against you. So you really have to think about kind of how to reduce that online data footprint as much as possible. So it's really around thinking about your advice as the front door to your digital life, right? You lock your front door, you bolt it up, same thing with your phone, make sure that you're using a passcode or a fingerprint to lock your phone or tablet. If you have online accounts, make sure that you have two-factor authentication, which means that not only do you need to enter a password, but you'll also get a text message sent to your phone with a PIN that you enter to access your account. It makes it more challenging for a fraudster to impersonate you online.
Right.
Going back to that suspicion radar, right? Like that radar should start to beep whenever you see a scam that could potentially be too good to be true, or there's a high level of urgency from the individual that you're talking with in terms of the need to access funds or access your account. And if anybody online, even if they're pretending to be a family member, is asking you to wire them money or buy them an iTunes gift card, you know, be very wary. It's likely the result of a scam. And again, just you kind of be on the lookout for these types of situations that tend to prey on your emotions, these types of emergencies. Somebody is stranded somewhere and needs to call AAA, or somebody has been injured and needs money for the emergency room. You know, somebody's been laid off and they need the money, or else they're going to be out of their apartment because they can't afford the rent anymore. It's a very kind of common way to prey on the other individual's emotions and successfully get the money.
And be sure to share this information that you're hearing now. If you have aging relatives that may not be up on all of these scams, it doesn't hurt, kind reminder, without sounding condescending, to make sure that they recognize all of these risks. They're ever evolving. And as I said earlier, they're coming at these poor folks from all sides. So make sure that they are armed with information.
I actually recommend whenever you're visiting home for the holidays or just to hang out with your family, doing like a quick tech check, you know, go through, make sure that the passwords being used are strong, that they do have two-factor authentication turned on, that they can feel like you're a resource that they can come to just gut check whether this seems fishy or not. My mom now sends me screenshots of all SMS messages that she gets from her bank to let me know, like, is this legitimate? Should I respond? Should I not respond? And I'm happy to do it, right? Because it's,
of course, yeah,
it's better me than, you know, her falling prey to a scam. So just kind of being a resource for your loved ones, I think is a tremendous help.
Love it. As we wrap up, Michael, what is Visa doing specifically to help fight back? You mentioned billions with a B in anti-fraud measures over the years. And is there a website where you'd recommend our listeners turn to as well?
Yeah, we absolutely take this issue very seriously. We've invested over $9 billion in the last 5 years in technology and innovation to stop these types of fraud attacks. So we have some fairly sophisticated cybersecurity that uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to identify when we're seeing early indications of a fraud attack and to be able to stop it before it inflicts significant financial losses on our clients and our cardholders. And we're constantly working to not only improve our technology, but also improve our consumer education. So we provide a lot of tips and best practices on common fraud schemes that are kind of seasonal. So when it comes to, you know, tax season and tax refund season, we'll put out some information in terms of here's what you should be on the lookout for. Similarly, with the holiday shopping season coming up, we'll be doing that once again. So we really want to empower consumers to be the first line of defense against fraudsters and to be their own kind of advocate when it comes to fighting back against fraud.
And the best website, I believe, is visa.com/security.
That's exactly right.
I really appreciate you carving out some time to chat with us, Michael, a lot of time to go through the various scams targeting seniors, this often vulnerable group, and more importantly, how to fight back with these simple tips. Thanks again for your time, Michael. Have a great fall. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mark.
Hey, do you love sports? Probably do. Well, you can thank technology for a better fan experience with new interactive and immersive experiences that fold in artificial intelligence and cloud computing to help pull the curtain back on how IBM is working with sports organizations to digitally transform the games, especially for tennis and football fans. We're joined on the line by Noah Sykin. He's Vice President of Global Sponsorships and Client Executive Programs at IBM. Hi, Noah. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
I know there are many sports fans who tune into this program. So why don't we jump right in? What are fans looking for when it comes to the future of sports?
Well, we think that fans are looking to get closer to the action. They're looking to know more about the players, know more about what's happening on the field. And increasingly, I think we're seeing fans that are having higher expectations for what technology can do to enrich their viewing or experience overall. I think the other thing that we think about is how can fans participate, right? In the social media era, everybody wants to have their say, if you will. They want to contribute their thoughts. And so we think about ways to engage fans and let them participate in the competition, even in a light way.
And how can technology facilitate that?
Yeah, well, these are new experiences that we can create. We can enrich broadcast experiences with new insights about the players or fans. And we can also enrich the in-stadium experience or the digital experiences. And so we really think about data as the source of that. How do we take the millions of points of data that get generated from the players, from the competition, and use that data to create new experiences?
All right. So whether you're at the game in person or you're experiencing it over TV or another medium, technology can enhance and enrich the viewing experience. And with that in mind, how did IBM work with the United States Tennis Association, the USTA, to bring the tournament to life this past year?
Yeah, so we're so excited that the U.S. Open's going on, and we really think about how players are playing. And with that, we're bringing the IBM Power Index to the U.S. Open. And if you paid attention, you could see there's different players that rise and fall over the course of the tennis tournament. And the premium that we put on the data is recency. How are those players playing leading up to the tournament in the early stages of the tournament? Mm-hmm. How are they playing on this particular court surfaces? How did they play against the competition they're playing in this tournament? And that ranking that we deliver to fans through that Power Index also creates other points of value. Things like predictions for each singles match at the US Open. So when you go to usopen.org, you're going to have the ability to understand who's predicted to win each match, but also vote and have your say about who you think is going to win, and then compare it to the AI and also compare it to other fans.
After all, data is bliss, not ignorance is bliss. So IBM.com/sports. Noah Sykin has been our guest. Thanks so much, Noah. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
The cheapest and easiest way to back up your important files when we return with SanDisk on Tech Talk. Stay with us. Welcome back to Tech Talk. Now that students are back to school, it's an ideal time to remind listeners about the importance of portable storage. And not just for backing up important files, just in case something happens, but also for easily transferring files between devices. So when you're talking reliable storage, who better to invite onto the program than SanDisk? We're joined by Sai Chella. He's Senior Product Marketing Manager for the mobile storage and USB business at SanDisk, a Western Digital brand. Hi, Sai. Thanks for your time today.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for inviting me, and I'm excited to talk.
Yeah, awesome. Before we talk back to school recommendations specifically, please tell us a bit about SanDisk.
Well, absolutely. I think you mentioned a little bit about SanDisk, right, in terms of reliability. So SanDisk has been making flash storage solutions like USB drives, SD cards for well over 25 years now.
Right.
And it really is known for reliability and the quality of products. And I think you mentioned upon that.
It's funny. So a lot of my readers would say, hey, you know, Mark, I'm looking for a 128 gig SD card or whatever, a 512 gig or 1 terabyte solid state drive. Who has the best price? I always say, don't just look for the storage. Look for speed. How fast you can read and write information to the drive is important. And most of all, look for a brand. If you're trusting your data with a company, they have to have a good track record. They have to have some heritage in this space.
Exactly.
So let's talk back to school. Kids are back into the classroom. Some may be learning online or a bit of both, a hybrid approach. Why don't we start with the SanDisk Ultra Dual Drive Go? This is a very unique USB-C drive.
Yeah, sure. This product is kind of near to my heart too, because I've been here over 10 years and we launched this product about 4 to 5 years ago. And since then, they've been doing really well in the market. So let me tell you a little bit about the product. So it's a flash drive, you know, a thumb size drive, if you may. A regular flash drive has a type A connector, right? A type A connector is, you know, if you have a computer, you see a USB connector, TVs, so you just plug them in. That's the, you know, legacy type A connector.
Right.
But you know, in the latest world, a lot of new smartphones, like any Samsung smartphone or any new smartphone, have Type-C connectors. The Apple just launched all the recent iPads with Type-C, so and their MacBooks are Type-C as well. Type-C is just like Type-A, but faster. It's reversible. It's, you know, it has a lot of other benefits as well. So this dual drive has two connectors, and that's why the name is perfect. One side is the Type-A, on the other side is the Type-C. So you can just swivel it around and use it either on the Type-C side with your phones, tablets, or your latest computers, or to iPad with your older computers. So great way to move stuff from your older computers to your tablets, laptops, latest, you know, TVs or whatever it is. I would say one drive for all your devices.
Right. I've got one in my hand, actually, right now, Sai. And I know there's different colors to choose from. I have a peach one. I also picked up like a kind of a minty, minty green one. But it's small enough to clip onto a keychain, if you like. But as you said, on one side, it's USB-C. Modern PCs, iPad Air and other iPads and smartphones like Samsung devices. And then on the other end, it's that legacy USB-A. And the prices are great, like under $10 to start.
Exactly. Yeah, $999 for a 32 gigabyte. So very affordable for students. And, you know, students, you know, have different devices they're working on than the libraries. So this is a great device to put on your keychain, take around and, you know, move homework around or classwork around. Yeah.
Awesome. And just to clarify, when you said it, USB-C is a reversible drive, which means it doesn't matter how you snap it into the device. Whereas USB-A, the older connector, you had to have it a certain way, right? It had to be, you know, if it didn't fit, you knew it was upside down. So you had to turn it, right?
You're always putting it the wrong side the first time around, right? You're always getting it wrong. Then you turn it around.
It's funny. I've seen a meme like that. People would relate to that, I think. Again, this is called the SanDisk Ultra Dual Drive Go USB Type-C and starts at $999 for 32 gigs and it goes up from there if you need more storage. What other products would you say are ideal for students? What about, say, a solid state drive?
Yeah, for sure. A little bit larger, if you can, you know, imagine it to be a size of your palm, maybe. But it's perfectly made for students as well because it's rugged. It's made for the outdoors. It's called the SanDisk Extreme Portable SSD. And so we have a few different portable SSDs, and we call portable SSDs because they're faster. They're solid state drives and they're portable. And they come with a carabiner ring as well, so you can just drop it on your backpack. You know, they've got really good resistance to drop. Protection, about 2 meter drop protection, IP57 water resistant and dust resistance, right? So it's perfectly made for outdoors. And I see a lot of students out, you know, out in parks, park benches and you know, doing homework, etc. So it's perfect for them. And it comes in up to 4 terabytes. So if somebody's working on large files, like video files, it's really good for that purpose. And it helps keep your content safe as well, because it comes with password encryption, hardware encryption and password protection, about 256-bit AES, which is kind of a format of encryption.
Okay. Solid state. It has no moving parts, unlike an external hard drive, which is, you know, like a spinning platter kind of thing. So this is, there's no moving parts. And that means it's more rugged. It's more durable. It's lighter. It's faster. And it's more energy efficient. So unlike an external hard drive, which it's a spinning mechanism. So that is going to drain some laptop battery. This is a lot leaner on the battery, which is great. So it's a win all across the board. And now capacities are getting up to 4 terabytes with this model, the Extreme Portable SSD. So lots of storage. So ideal, obviously, for content creators, as you hinted at. And how much does this start at?
About $105, but $104.99 for a 500 gigabyte drive.
Okay, so for half a terabyte, it's just over $100. Again, solid state, not an external hard drive. This is a solid state drive or SSD. We are chatting with Sai Challa. He's Senior Product Marketing Manager for the mobile storage and USB business at SanDisk, a Western Digital brand. We're talking back to school flash solutions like the SanDisk Ultra Dual Drive Go USB-C, the Extreme Portable SSD. And why don't we end off with one more? Maybe something for those who like to use Chromebooks.
Oh, yes, Mark. We have something called the SanDisk Ultra micro SD card for Chromebooks. So as you know, micro SD cards go on your phones and one of the most favorite products here at SanDisk. We sell a lot of those. And so we now have a micro SD card that works for Chromebook, which means they're actually certified works for Chromebook. It comes with that logo. What that means is Chromebook has a program where they they actually personally work on certifying different brands for their products. And this is one of the products, which means it works perfectly with Chromebooks. This micro SD card is waterproof, temperature proof, X-ray proof, magnet proof, and a lot of proof, right? So it's very reliable and it can plug into your Chromebook. As you know, micro SD cards are super thin and super small. Once you plug into your Chromebook, you don't even know it's there.
And how much does this card start at?
$13.99, so about $14 for 64 gigabytes.
Okay, great. And you could just keep that plugged into your Chromebook all the time.
Yeah.
Because it addresses one of the main issues with Chromebooks, which is a lack of local storage. So that's great. And without breaking the bank at $14, that's fantastic. Sai, before we wrap up, any other tips for students when it comes to managing their storage? I like what you said earlier about adding a password to your external drive just in case you misplace it.
Right, definitely using the password protection on some of our drives that come along with it. Then, you know, having multiple backups, because as a student, I did definitely lose some files in the past. So keeping, different storage devices, maybe the micro SD card on your Chromebook and then an external SSD drive like we spoke about earlier, and keeping the same copy in both places. And we also have some software, like it's called a SanDisk Memory Zone. And if you go on Android Store, and this only works with Android, you can find the software. It works with your mobile phones. They have automatic backup there. So if you ever plug in your USB-C dual drive we spoke about earlier onto your Android phone, you can set up automatic backup. And every time you plug the drive in, all the files will just get backed up.
All right, Sai, as we wrap up, what's the best place to learn more about SanDisk?
Definitely SanDisk.com. We have a lot of information on our website. Yeah.
All right. SanDisk.com, SanDisk.com. Sai Challa has been our guest. Thank you so much for talking to us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Before we continue on with this show, I do want to remind our listeners that while we often talk about new gadgets on this program, it's important to properly recycle your old tech, your end-of-life electronics, and it's never been easier to do it. Simply visit recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you'll find one of many drop-off locations near you. It could be a retailer, a community center, a school, and so on, and there's no cost to drop it off. By responsibly recycling your end-of-life electronics, you're keeping them out of the waste stream, and you're helping to recover and recycle valuable resources, which can then be put back into manufacturing. When it comes to your devices, the future is literally in your hands. Don't let it go to e-waste. That website again is recyclemyelectronics.ca. Hey, this show, Tech Talk, is brought to you in part by the LG ProBake Convection Slide-In Range with air sous vide and air fry. Not sure if you've heard me talk about this on Tech Talk before, but this range has range. For air sous vide mode, this modern range uses controlled low oven temperatures and airflow, which consistently cooks proteins and veggies and more, all in vacuum sealed bags. They lock in flavor and aroma. But if you're craving a crispy dish without the guilt, use the air fry feature, which quickly circulates high heat to achieve crispy results. Learn more about the LG ProBake Convection Slide-In Range with air sous vide and air fry at lg.ca. Hungry yet? When we return on Tech Talk, we're going to learn about the Wow Cube with celebrity Jason Hervey. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Tech Talk, everyone. This show is powered by the Chevrolet Bolt EV and EUV, which I'll tell you more about shortly, but you got to hear about this new gaming system that looks like a Rubik's Cube. What do you get when you combine a classic handheld puzzle with rotating pieces, like a Rubik's Cube, with the thrill of video games? Well, the answer may be the new Wow Cube gaming system, and we have a special guest to chat with us about it. We're joined by Jason Hervey, who wears multiple hats in the entertainment space, but you may know him best as Wayne Arnold, the brother you love to hate, from The Wonder Years. Welcome, Jason. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. The brother you love to hate. I love it.
I know you mentioned that in a recent Reddit chat that you had, and I know you've been busy. So before we talk Wow Cube, what are you working on? I know you were in a Hallmark movie last year as well.
Yeah. So I dusted off the old acting hat, put that on for a minute as a favor to Danica McKellar and the Hallmark Channel. For you, me, and the Christmas trees, and that was a lot of fun. Had a great time filming that up in Canada.
Sweet.
And it was a lot of fun. On the business side, I'm actually pretty soon formally announcing the formation of my marketing company called Marathon OH, which is a venture between myself, Polian Smith, executive producer of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies with Michael Bay, as well as OH Partners, which is one of the
fastest growing ad agencies in the U.S. and my partner, Scott Harkey. And we are having a blast, especially with one of our partners, the Elon Go token in the cryptocurrency space. We're building a $600,000 monument as a present to Elon Musk that we're going to be delivering to Tesla headquarters. So we're doing all kinds of really fun things, but nothing more fun than the Wow Cube. And I'm so glad that you took an interest in that.
Yeah. Why don't you talk to us about it? What is this all about? So I kind of described it off the top. I know it's not from the same company that makes Rubik's Cube. So maybe you can talk to us a bit about it.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, this is something that has never existed before. You know, we added a computer interface to pretty much the most well-known puzzle game in the world, being Rubik's Cube, sold over 450 million units worldwide. So you can actually physically change the geometry of the screen during the gameplay. And it's comprised of 24 separate screens that work simultaneously. So you play really both in the physical and virtual reality at the same time. As I like to say, it's gaming in the fourth dimension.
I like that. And there are tie-ins with mobile games like Cut the Rope, right? I mean, talk to us maybe about some of the games that you can play on this one device.
Sure. So yes, you know, we do have, and literally we're adding more licensed games all the time. But mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Cut Rope, or we have Space Invaders. We've definitely improved upon those games by adding the physical dimension. For example, okay, with Space Invaders, you know, just one twist and that can send an enemy to a remote part of the universe, right? It's really a new level of strategic thinking. You know, the cubicle form makes it possible to really split the enemy's fleet by distance and shoot the invaders one by one. And, you know, with Cut Rope, you actually physically cut the rope by twisting the cube.
So like a Rubik's Cube, it's got pieces that you can rotate with your hand, so physically. But as you said, right, each side has several different little screens on it. And there's no buttons. I've had a chance to play around with this, and that kind of blew me away. How do you navigate around the different games?
There's the icon that, you know, that lights up when you're choosing, you know, which game or interface, mm-hmm. because your phone syncs to our store. And that's where, you know, you could get different games, you know, apps, you know, all kinds of stuff. The interesting part about it, to your point, yes, there are no buttons, but we do have a tap screen.
Right.
So, you know, you take the cursor, the icon, whatever you want to call it, put it on whatever, you know, game or app you want, and then you just tap it twice. And then, you know, you become immersed in whatever it is that you just tapped on.
If this voice sounds familiar, it is Jason Hervey. He's otherwise known as Wayne Arnold from the Wonder Years, but he's got a lot more accolades after that show from the late 80s and early 90s. He's also partnered with Wow Cube Gaming System. This is a handheld puzzle game like a Rubik's Cube, if you think of that shape, but it's got, did you say 24 different screens on it?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So four screens, six sides, and there's lots of games that you can play on this thing. And you know, Jason, I realize that a lot of people love the fidgety component to this, like a fidget cube, if you know what I'm talking about. People who, you know, just feel a bit restless and they want to do something with their hands. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And I first saw the fidget spinner because my son Sam was playing with one. And I was like, what is that? But you're right. You know, just as a human's, you know, physical need for, you know, grasping or fidgeting anything from bead, pencils, different trinkets, you know, that are made, you know, popular today, including the fidget spinner.
Sure.
I think, you know, just, you know, people like to be engaged in something, and fidget really is, you know, the right word, and they love it if something is responsive, interactive. And I think, you know, that's certainly one of the reasons for, you know, the smartphone's popularity, mm-hmm. Besides obviously, you know, talking and texting. But yeah, once you put it in your hand, it's fun to play with. It's fun to twist it. It's fun to turn it. And And going back to the 24 screens, they operate autonomously as well as simultaneously. So you could have 24 individual pictures, but yet they can all kind of band together to make one big picture. Mm-hmm. So it's really unique. And we have a portfolio of patents actually globally that cover that. So, you know, we think there's going to be, you know, more iterations of the cube, and maybe even, you know, taking two of them and creating the world's first digital dice gameplay. You can imagine that, you know, with Dungeons and Dragons, and how much more you could be immersed, you know, in the gameplay and deciding the fate of your character by the spin of these digital dice. Mm-hmm. So it's really something that we're super excited about, not just where we're at, but where we're going to go.
Awesome. And speaking of which, I was going to ask you about the companion app, but you already mentioned that's how you can manage the games that you play on the WoW Cube. It's all done through the WoW Cube app. And also mentioned that they're releasing new games over time. There's a built-in store in the app as well.
Yeah. So the app is currently available in both the iOS and the Android store. And yes, it is made to, you know, upload new games and apps and things like that within the store. But what we've also done is we've created our own SDK. And we're making that public. So that allows third-party game developers, you know, to really create their own games that they want to see. So we're kind of, you know, this large scale creative collaboration portal that's going to unlock, we think, some amazing creativity.
That's awesome. Yeah, I called it earlier the WoW Cube gaming system, and that does imply that people can create content for it.
Yeah, the base price for the cube is $259. And that's kind of like an early bird special. But what I will tell you, and you're going to be the first to hear this, and there will be a separate major announcement coming with the WoW Cube and a collaboration partner, okay, that is absolutely a household name within the gaming space. And I would not be surprised if the cube came out as an NFT as well.
A non-fungible token, which we covered last week in this show, as we have over the last year or so. Okay, so you've piqued my interest. Is there a website where we can learn more about WoW Cube and keep up on all the announcements?
Absolutely. WoWCube.com.
All right. WoWCube.com, just as it sounds. Jason Hervey, great to chat with you. Been a fan of your work for several years, so it's a kick to chat with you on the phone. All the best. Thanks for your time.
Not as mean in person, right?
Very funny. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Hey, if you're on social media, drop by and say hi. Let me know what you think of the show this week. We spoke about the WoW Cube with Jason Hervey. We talked with SanDisk, had IBM Sports on, and we led things off with Visa to talk about grandparent scams. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. A huge thank you to Chevrolet Canada. Charge up and go places with the Chevrolet Bolt EUV. It's an affordable electric crossover that moves with the current of life. Tech it out for yourself at Chevrolet.ca by tapping or clicking on the section for the Bolt and the Bolt EUV, an electric utility vehicle. Very cool stuff. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone. We'll catch up with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.